I believe in the name of Jesus. What does that actually mean? And how does that change my life? For if the Bible is true, and we believe that it is, then this relationship with Jesus becomes something that not only changes our passions, but it changes our experience of all of life. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, one that convicts me and also gives me courage, is a day when Jesus decided to go out sailing with his disciples. In fact, he commands, this is in Mark chapter 4, let us go across to the other side, and they get into a boat, and he gets to the back of the boat, and he lies down for a nap, and the text tells us that a storm was brewing, came up and was so harsh that literally the water was hitting the sides of the boat and getting into the boat, and the disciples were filled with fear. Rightly so, they were fishermen, and they understood the dangers of being out on this particular sea at this particular time, and so they panicked. And you can just imagine, if you would with me, being on those waters, the storm raging all around, coming over the boat, and Jesus napping in the back. And so they run back to him, they grab him, they scream and shake him, shouting, "Teacher, do you not care that we're dying? Teacher, wake up, there's a storm and it's overwhelming us." The text says, and he awoke and rebuked, comical language, I suppose, the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It's interesting to me in this story that Jesus leads them into the storm, is with them in the storm, and then by virtue of just a simple word, calms everything. He then surprises me even more, I suppose. He turns to his disciples, those ones who understood as fishermen the dangers of the water, the greatness of the storm, and the courage of their Savior, and he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Why are you not experiencing the peace that transcends all understanding, O Christian at Cloverdale? Have you still no faith? Well, wait a minute, Jesus, the storms are real. Wait a minute, Jesus, it feels like you're sleeping and ignoring the peril and the experience that we're in. Jesus, the storms are real. The waves are large. They're entering the boat. Jesus, wake up, wake up. Where are you? And I think for every Christian, there needs to be an understanding not only of the reality that storms will come and that our lives will sometimes be filled with things that are uncomfortable, but also so important that Jesus is with us in the storm. See, there's a peace that we're commanded to have and a peace that we're to experience, not only based on the truth of our reconciled relationship with Jesus, but also based on the reality that he has all authority. That with his very words and simple words, he can still any storm, whether that be on the Sea of Galilee as his disciples were experiencing, or a storm in your life, a relational brokenness, a despair, a job that isn't going well or is non-existent, a life that seems overwhelming and perhaps even going to drown you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to the book of Romans. We have been working our way through this amazing book. I read this week of someone who took, I think it was 18 years to get through the book. We will be moving a little quicker than that. However, in Romans 5, we're now going to slow down. Romans 5 summarizes everything to this point and then wants to make some very clear statements to us about the difference that the book should have already made in our lives. And we want to slow down to ask the question, have those differences been made, and are we those who are living in light of what's gone on? Secular psychologists tell us that every human is desperately seeking two things. I might argue back, we are seeking significantly more, but we'll listen to their argument at least for this morning. They say we are seeking security and significance. Security, a place to be safe, to know that we're going to be taken care of. Significance, a reality that our life matters. And I will say that these two things can only be truly met in Jesus. For the storms you will face and the issues that life brings, if left to yourself, will be overwhelming and steal your security and minimize your significance. For God has placed, as Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, eternity into man's heart, into woman's heart. God has given us a sense of something bigger, more grand, and also has placed us into a world that is filled with storms. It's so important that we understand that our significance does not come from us, our security not from our surroundings, but both must be found in Christ. The end of the Second World War, it was the summer of 1945. The soldiers were all coming back home, and there was a soldier named Joe DiMaggio, a very famous baseball player, and he slipped into the Yankee Stadium. That was where he had played for many, many years. He had come back. He took his young boy into the game, his son named after him, and all of a sudden someone close to them noticed this mighty baseball player was back, and they started to whisper and then to chant, and then it was raised to this echoing throughout the whole stadium, Joe DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio. And then a big cheer went up, a celebration. Their baseball star was home from the war, and the little boy who was holding his dad's hand turned to his father and he said, "See, Daddy, everyone knows me." I think sometimes that we get our significance in a similar way, when we should be passing glory on to our Father, we're only noticing what's happening to us in light of Him. We can have security that's absolute. If you're here and you've experienced perhaps a little bit of fear this week or anxiety, perhaps a storm that has overwhelmed you, then there are two verses that I believe can truly change your life. There's a story told of a botanist who went on an expedition to a hard-to-reach location in the Alps, and he was looking for a particular flower. He found it, and he knew he couldn't get there, but he also knew that there was young people that he could lay her down in a rope and keep them safe, and they would come back up, they'd get the flower, and so he found one of those. He said, "Will you go down on this rope? I'll hold the other end, I'll hold it secure." And this young man said, "Well, can you wait a minute, please? I'll go do it." There was money involved, and it was a great privilege. "I'll do it, but can you wait a minute?" And about 10, 15 minutes later, this young man came back, and with him was an old gentleman, maybe in his 50s, and he said, this young boy said, "I will go down as long as this man holds the rope." And the botanist was kind of confused. He was much more buff than this man and certainly more capable of holding the rope, and he said, "Well, why? I'll hold the rope." And this young boy said, "Well, this man's my dad, and I know he won't let go." I think sometimes we need to see God afresh in terms of what he's done for us so that we can be absolutely secure. Jesus is in the boat, or God the Father has a hold of the rope. We can trust him no matter what is going on, no matter where it is going on. And we're going to read two verses. We're going to read them over and over again this morning. I hope by the end of this morning you'll have these drilled into your mind and your heart, because so many of us, we live in the age of anxiety. So many of us struggle with worry and fear and chaos and being out of control and what's coming next. And I think this text, if it's true, and it is because it's in the Word of God, based on what's already gone on in the book of Romans, can help you have a peace that transcends understanding because you live with a worldview, a perspective that has God at the center. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you ask the question, what's it there for? Well, this is actually summing up the entire text that's gone on so far. We might say the introduction, Romans 1 to maybe verse 15, introduces just the book and who he's writing to and a few things. And then we entered right into the gospel, and it's been this echo of gospel reality, the wrath of God that's being poured out, and then the wonder of the but now verse that shows us the richness of what God has done. And now he's saying, therefore, summing it all up, chapters 1 to 4, we have been justified by faith. And since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. If we were to keep reading to verse 11, and God willing, over the next few weeks, we will get through to verse 11, we would see that repeated three times is this reality of rejoicing in the midst of anything and everything that is going on. Now, in the context of these two verses, in light of what Jesus has done, in light of who Jesus is, and in light of the richness and glory of our salvation and all it means, and we'll get a little more intimate into what it means, I can have a peace with God that transcends understanding and impacts everything else and everyone else that I come in contact with. It's an absolute security and, I believe, significance because of Jesus. Therefore, Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his sermon on this text, says this. This is a very well-developed statement of the security in Christ that comes to a believer as the result of his or her justification. It's a benefit of being one who is saved. Let's walk through this with a question that I want to be very practical today in light of what we've learned from Romans 1 to 4, in light of what the Bible teaches, in light of the greatness of the gospel and the holiness of God and who he is. We can have peace, and so we're driving now home the realities in this summary verse, really verses 1 and 2 in these summary verses, of what it means to live our lives in active peace with no anxiety because of who Jesus is and what he has done. So the first thing I want us to note is, I'm going to state it in I am statements in terms of relating to Jesus, I am justified in Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's a summary of what it means to know Jesus. Douglas Moo said this, justification affects for the believer a new and permanent status. It is once for all an act by which God acquits the sinner. This is incredible. This is profound. This is overwhelming. In other words, what God has done in justifying us, he's declared us to be his friend, to be forgiven, to be acceptable, to be loved, to be his child, to be cared for, to be secure. And by the way, it's absolute. I'm often asked the question, can you sin your way out of the love of God? And the answer is no. Certainly you can sin your way out of assurance, but the love of God comes because of what Jesus has done, not anything we have done. And when we believe, when we adjust, when we turn to him from our sinful ways, we receive his legal declaration upon us. I am justified in Christ, not only, as you know, just as if I'd never sinned, but also as profound, just as if I'd always obeyed. This is security. And so you can struggle, miss your devotions, miss an opportunity to witness, sin, and then feel the overwhelming sense of despair. You can be in a storm that is overwhelming, sometimes of your own making, sometimes of others. You can experience all of these things. And when the greatest reality is this reality of being justified in Christ, this overwhelms all of the others, and you can serve with joy no matter what, this hope that is absolutely secure. During the initial construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, there was no safety devices that were being used, and as they started, 23 men fell to their death. But for the final part of the project, they made a large net underneath, a safety precaution, and interestingly enough, at least 10 men fell into that safety net. What's interesting is not only were those 10 men saved by the net, but also the work increased by 25% in terms of the pace they went. Why? because they felt the security of the net, and so they were able to wholeheartedly serve the project. I think that a lot of our time as Christians is taken up on all sorts of thoughts and concerns and anxieties and turmoil, because in the midst of the storm, instead of trusting the Savior, we're looking to ourselves and we're so overwhelmed by it that we miss his tender care and peace. Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul says this, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. Being confident of this, if you're truly justified, if that's truly, as Romans 1 to 4 teaches, a consequence of your faith, your response to God, your response to the gospel, if that's truly what this is, this declaration upon us, we can't lose it. And so when we understand that the most important reality in the world is the holiness of God and the grace of God and salvation and conversion and peace with God, then when we experience this reality of being justified, it changes everything else. The gospel is so rich. We've seen the holiness of God. We've seen Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God, which is poured out on humans. Then we've seen the richness of Jesus living and dying in our place, the overwhelming understanding of the gospel, and he rose again and he lives. And when we believe in him, acknowledging our own sin, acknowledging that we can't earn our way to him, acknowledging Jesus' death and resurrection in our place for us, we are declared holy, obedient, righteous, justified. Now, before we go on, I just want us to stop for a moment. You probably know this theologically in your minds, but if you experience it in your hearts, then what is coming will be your overwhelming experience in the midst of the storm. Unlike the disciples who lacked faith, and so in the presence of God and his authority over everything, they were filled with fear. You will be filled with rest. Do you know this truth? Not only in your minds, but in your hearts. Absolute security in Christ. I am justified. Secondly, I have peace with God. Again, this is past tense. It's not a feeling, but it leads to feeling. It's something you have that's an experience of reconciliation with God that turns you into one who brings this kind of peace to others. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus has accomplished this, and it's done. It's finished. It's paid in full. One great scholar says this, when a person embraces Jesus Christ in repentant faith, the sinless Son of God who made perfect satisfaction for all our sins makes that person eternally at peace with God the Father. Listen to those words. If the greatest conflict is between me as a sinner and the holy God of the Bible, then when he has brought justification to me by my faith in Jesus, now this peace should be overwhelming. And so we pray for it experientially. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why do we have this peace? Because we rest in him. We have this peace, and then in the midst of the storm, we know his presence, and we rejoice in the greatness of what it means in all of life. There's a storm brewing in Canada. A storm that will fight what the Word of God teaches. Just this week, a church in Ontario took a strong stand on what it means to be male and female, according to God, what marriage is. All sorts of threats and voices speaking out against a church that could take this kind of stand. There's a storm brewing, and there's a sense where we could say, oh no, what will it bring to us? The water is getting into the boat, and it's making it full, and oh, Jesus, wake up, Jesus, wake up. Jesus, don't you care if we perish? And I think instead what I would prefer we would do, what Jesus would prefer we would do, is to say, oh, Jesus, you are with us. And so we rest even as we radically pursue you and your word and your ways. In 1555, there's a man by the name of Nicholas Ridley who was burned at the stake because of his faith in Jesus. And the night before his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber just to comfort him, maybe to change his mind, but to bring him comfort. Here's what this man of God responded. He said, I am going to go to bed and I am going to sleep as quietly as I have ever slept in my life because I have peace with God. There's a man in the storm. Because of his peace with God, he experienced peace in that storm. How is your faith? See, when we understand the richness of justification, not only with our minds, but in our hearts, all of a sudden everything else becomes calm around us because we are found in Christ. You know, it's interesting as you look at that storm story, Jesus led them into the storm. Jesus slept with them. In other words, he was there sleeping in the storm, resting in the sovereignty of his Father, calling them to do the same. Now, for his church, we have peace with him. We belong to him. And so absolute security can be found in him. Do you understand this? I am justified. I have peace with God. Perhaps more importantly, do you believe it? Or we could ask the question a little differently. Are you experiencing this? Oh, please don't hear these questions, and we'll get into this and the implications, but please don't hear these questions as a shame on you, rather as a let's build our faith so that we can rest in the midst of the storm, because life will not be easy if we truly follow Jesus. I am justified. I have peace with God. Thirdly, I have access to God. Now for you, you might go, oh, who cares, because we have such a diminished view of God. But for those reading this, this would have been overwhelmingly profound. This is exciting. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, in other words, it's in Christ, it's through what he's done, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to God. He's in the boat with us, if you want to understand it that way. He is with us always to the very end of the age, if you want to think of it in terms of the great command, great commission. Why is this so significant? Because God is holy, holy, holy. Why is this so significant? Because God hates sin and condemns sinners. Why is this so significant? Because if you understand the Old Testament at all, you will see that no one had access, or at least no one normal had access. It was an incredibly difficult process. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God, verse 22, with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, there's something that's changed from the old covenant to the new, and it's an intimacy change, an access change. You see, the Jewish temple was actually designed by God to protect people from access to God. So you'd enter in and there'd be walls and gates, and you'd enter into the first one, ensuring your safety, the wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. And then you'd continue to go if you were a Jew, and then you'd run into another wall that would protect Jewish women and men, separate them out. And then you'd go another wall and only the priest could go there. And then you'd see a curtain that was the separated holy place from the most holy place. And in the most holy place, only one person could go, and only once a year, the great high priest on the Day of Atonement to present the blood sacrifice had been offered for the sins of the people. There was this separation from intimacy with God because God is so holy. So if we don't understand this access thing becomes, yeah, so what? I pray all the time. Yeah, so what? Of course God's with me. It's kind of cool. It's not cool for these people. They're separated because of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, and Jesus has exploded that. He has paid the price in full. He allows us now to enter the throne room of grace and to approach God and to pray to God and interact with God and to have God with us in the most intimate way because he has given us access through Jesus. Now, this is amazing. This is overwhelming. And this should give you peace in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, absolute security. The fact that you can pray is one of the most amazing privileges that you could experience as a child of the King. An experience that no Hebrew would have understood without truly understanding prophecy in a way they didn't yet comprehend. And now we have Jesus going before us, and through him we have also obtained access by faith. We believed in him. He has forgiven us. This grace overwhelms us. We're given what we don't deserve, and so we stand. We are worthy, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have this new right, this new privilege, this new access, this new intimacy. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we never get caught up in religion and forget relationship with Jesus that drives and defines us. It is overwhelming. It's a new reality that if we experience, will chase away all anxiety and replace it with joy and hope and security and rest and peace. We have access to a sovereign, all-powerful God at any time. Maybe you're in the storm today. Maybe you're not experiencing peace. You have anxiety. May I, with a hug, say to you, you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord. He's in your boat. Don't go back there and shake him awake and ask him why. Go back there and feel the embrace of his wings as you take refuge in him. And know that as his wings are over you and you take shelter in them, there is nothing and no one that can harm you outside of his sovereign plan for good for you. You want to talk about peace and rest? We have access. We can cry out to him. We can rejoice in his tender care. We can live our lives actively in his presence because of Jesus. And if you approach this flippantly or don't understand the depth of what this means, you won't be able to experience peace in life because you'll be so busy battling on the surface what Jesus in the depth has already accomplished. I am justified. I have peace with God. I have access to the holy God of the Bible. And fourthly, absolute security in Christ can be found because I have joy in hope. There's a lot of people that talk about joy being non-emotional. Let me say it transcends emotion, so I would agree with those scholars that say that. However, it always produces emotion. So the joy that we are to have should supersede any emotional feeling, but the joy should also produce in us this overflow that impacts how we feel. Joy and happiness actually go together. It's not that you can have one without the other. You can. You can be happy without the depths of joy, and sometimes in the midst of incredible pain, we'll experience joy, and it won't yet lead to happiness, but there's this overwhelming sense of peace and sureness that leads to a joy that is overwhelming and incredible, inexpressible and glorious. If you want to take the persecuted Christians in Rome in Nero's time in 1 Peter. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the character of who he is. We know him. We're known by him. We experience his love. And because he lives, John 14:19, we will also live. Absolute assurance, total security, incredible hope. Hope here. Don't think of hope here like I hope something will happen and I'm not sure it will. That's not the Greek word here that's used. It's translated hope. This is absolutely secure.
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong to him and that his glory is supreme, that I will reign with him forever and ever. And you might say, okay, but in the context, what does this mean? Well, it means that me who has sinned and fallen short of his glory now participate in his glory, and I will receive from him this incredible ultimate destination to share in the glory of God. Want to talk about significance? In fact, if the Bible did not teach this, I would shudder to even mention it. But it does. God takes those who deserve only wrath, makes them his treasured possession, and grants them ever-increasing glory. Are you kidding? 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. This is us now being talked about, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, that we would grasp this and enjoy rest in peace and let that joy overwhelm us and overflow into a steady happiness that responds to all of life, knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with us in our boat in the midst of the storm. He's holding the rope. We are absolutely and completely secure in his plan. And you might be saying, but you don't know what I'm going through, and you're right. But I don't need to. For this is a message inspired by the Holy Spirit that is for you, regardless of your circumstance. They tell me that the two greatest needs that men and women have are security and significance. I don't know if that's true. I might add or play around a little bit. But what I do know to be true is this. As we read the Bible, what we discover is the only hope we have for absolute security is Jesus, not life circumstances, not control, not education, not bank accounts. The only hope we have is not that we have a neighbor to the south with incredible army that will protect us, not that we trust in horses and chariots, but that we know him. And so we can declare, I am justified. I have peace with God. I have access to God. I have joy in hope. Brothers and sisters, those are truths. If you know Jesus. And so the question for us now is not whether these things are true or not. It's not whether Jesus is in the boat with us or not. It's not how horrible the storm is, for the fishermen knew that they would sink unless they could wake Jesus up. At least they believed that, oh, you of little faith. But it's these realities being lived out not only in our minds, but then in our hearts, and then through our hearts, to our feet, to our choices. We're gonna see this developed. And so Paul is saying, therefore, you've listened to the richness of the gospel. You've seen the holiness of God. You've experienced what it means to have him be wrath-filled. Now you understand you've been justified. You've been declared righteous. You've been declared holy by faith in Jesus. So you have peace with God. He's not your enemy. He's your father. He's your protector. He's the one who loves you tenderly through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign one, the ruler of all things, the Messiah. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace. We have access by faith into this experience that we don't deserve and into his presence by which we now stand confident in his grace towards us. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and nothing can steal that. Are you experiencing this kind of relationship? We often say here that the gospel is for those who don't know Jesus, but also for those who do. Let me restate that. For it's an overflow of the gospel that Paul is now going to change how we experience life. So for you, do you know and believe that God is holy and that anyone who does not have faith in him is an object of his wrath? Romans 1 verse 18, and then that includes those who are religious, the Jews. It includes those who are not, the Gentiles, or the wrong religion. It includes those who are going through the motions. It includes everyone, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you believe that there's no hope outside of what Jesus Christ did on the cross? He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty in full for sin, and he rose again, conquering sin and death. Do you believe? You can answer that if you would like. Because if you do, you've turned from sin to Jesus, then not only does it change your standing, it changes your reality. It changes how you think, feel, and respond to life. And I know, because the storms are real in my life as well, and the water sometimes invades my boat, that if we're authentic, Jesus is there, and with him, and a few of his words, comes absolute and total security and incredible, overwhelming joy. So my longing is that we would experience that as his children, loved by him, redeemed by him, justified by faith, in a relationship of peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, through grace, and we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God in his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, there's so much here that we need to not only know in our minds, but experience in our hearts, and yet so often we fall short. We, like the disciples, are filled with fear rather than faith. Would you help us to gain a new understanding of the depth of our forgiveness, the joy of our salvation, the richness of our justification, the penalty which you paid to grant us peace? And would you help us now, as those with access to you, have a joy-filled hope that can't be stolen by storm or circumstance? Would you receive honor and glory as we rest in you? For we are yours, and we long to experience ever more richly the realities of our faith. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
Amen. Could you stand with us as we celebrate a truth that is older than the ages and a promise of things that is yet to come? It is Jesus.